Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host today. I'm pitch hitting for Jim Madonna. I'm Michael Dresser, and we're going to talk about mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, gold mining in Alaska's misty past. I'll be with you right here at KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock. That's when the show is. Jim will be gone for about 3 weeks now, and we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. We can discuss such topics as how you can become rich and famous by making a fabulous gold discovery, or perhaps the role of education in the Alaskan mining industry. And of course, we'll have special guests on to discuss different mining-related topics. Some will discuss where the Earth's hidden treasures might be found, while others will tell us the rules we have to follow to extract them. But most of all, give us a call if you've got a question, or if you care to make a comment on mining in Alaska. We would especially like to hear from some of you early pioneers. I know many of you must have some fascinating stories that perhaps you wouldn't mind sharing with us. So if you just want to chat for a few minutes, or you want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences, give us a call. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along the Alaskan gold trails. Time right now is 11 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, and it's 19 degrees on the plus side right outside the studio. Let's talk about Golden Nugget Taxi before we get going. Golden Nugget Taxi is a firm advocate of an educated Alaska mining industry, and they fully support the placer miners in their effort to provide a stability and a stable, healthy industry for Fairbanks and Interior Alaska. So if you're looking for value in transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-TAXI. That's 451-8294. Remember, let's keep our mining industry strong, and when you need a lift around town, call Golden Nugget Taxi, 451-8294. Remember, Golden Nugget Taxi believes a working community is a healthy community, and let's work together to keep our mining industry very strong. And a message from Golden Nugget Taxi, which offers reasonable rates and courteous, friendly service. When you need transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-8294. That's 451-TAXI. And by the way, tell them you heard it, and you heard of their support for the industry from Alaskan Gold Trails. That's KFAR. And tell them Jim Madonna sent you. Powerful name, and here we go. Let me introduce our guest, Cy Randall. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Listen, you've been around for at least 400 years now, haven't you?
Well, going on a little while anyhow, the early 20s, I guess.
Okay, and listen, your dad was a miner, right?
That is correct.
Boy, you must have seen a lot of things as a kid.
Well, we saw the hard way of doing it, believe me, when they used to shovel that dirt and put it up way above their heads, and with an old number two shovel and get down, move the rocks by their hands and all that kind of stuff. It was rough.
Yeah, I can imagine it was. Now, where about was the mine?
Where he mined was about 14 miles from Eagle, up the American Creek.
Did you guys use dogs in those days?
We used dogs, that's true, but not on the mine. Dad had horses.
Yeah. Now, what about, so many things are mechanized today. Everything was pretty much done by hand in those days, wasn't it?
All we saw was done by hand. There was no question about that. In fact, that's how he got out of the mining, because a flood came one night and washed away all the sluice boxes. So he decided that was it. He was through, and that stopped his mining.
Really? And what did he do after that? What do you do when you're a miner for so long, and then all of a sudden something like that happens and it's done?
Well, in a little town like that, there isn't an awful lot to do. But he worked for John Powers, who carried the mail and freight from Eagle to Chicken Creek, which was a four-day trip by horse or walking, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
In fact, Eagle was a very interesting place because three mail contracts were let. They carried the mail. One carried it from Dawson to Eagle, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. The other from Eagle to Circle, and the other from Eagle to Chicken Creek. So three different ones, and they all used different forms of hauling the freight or the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Percy DeWolf from Dawson used primarily horses or boats, as the case may be.
Yeah.
And Powers and Dad used horses, pack horses and mules. And Biederman, going to Circle, used dogs. And that was the mean, or else outboard motors, you know, and the river was open. In fact, an interesting thing, I think, and was one time, Ed Biederman was the senior and Horace was his son. And one time they were going up the Yukon and they froze in at Nation, which was 50 miles below town.
Mm-hmm.
So they got out. Now, this is after Ed Biederman had had his both feet cut off at the instep. And so he just had these stubs.
Yeah.
They loaded the mail on the what dogs they could get the mail on and on their own backs and started out that 50 miles for Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
Horace told me this, and he says that old Dutchman was really a powerful old man. He says, we hiked along there for those 50 miles over the rocks and came to Eagle Bluff. This was, and it was dark, and we climbed up the backside of Eagle Bluff, down the face of it, forded Mission Creek, and he did all this with 2 feet missing.
Wow.
He was a tough guy.
I guess you had to be tough, you know, to live around here in those days.
Most of them were, I can tell you.
Yeah, you know, when we really take a look, it was the miners who really built this country, huh?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. There's no question about it. Yeah.
What are some of the other things that you remember back in those days? I'm just going to jog your memory and trigger it.
Well,
it's called
that's
a walk back through time.
I mentioned the how he did. Now, Percy came down with horses, and many times he'd come down in the heavy flow of ice in the river, and he would be with this open boat, and then he would throw a rope from somebody on shore, and these people would pull the boat out, and he would get out with the mail. And that was in the fall when everything was freezing so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the winter, he primarily used horses, but mm-hmm. he did use dogs once in a while. And that was the 100 miles. It was 104 miles from Dawson to Eagle. And nowadays, I guess this jet that they have over there can go up in a matter of a very few hours.
Sure.
And it'd be interesting, but I haven't seen it yet.
You know, in the old days when the miners dug and they found gold and they cashed it in, etc., you know, where really was there to spend it around here?
Well, you know, it was interesting because one time my dad and his partner and me, just a little child, maybe 5 years old, mm-hmm. following along behind him, and Dad happened to spot something yellow in the cut. And he jumped in and pulled it out, and it was a nugget,
mm-hmm.
which later was valued at something like, in those days, it was something like under $200.
Yeah.
But it was sizable, so you could see it, because after all, what was gold, about $30 an ounce, I believe, in those days, mm-hmm. as compared to what it is today. But that's, as far as I know, that's the only thing I can remember him getting of any worthwhile nugget at all while he was mining there.
Hmm.
But I don't know, the old timers were really rough and tough. And one time Biederman came up. First off, when the river was freezing in the fall, it would freeze more or less in the middle, or in the spring, whatever the case may be. And Biederman came up, and there was two of them on the sled with a lot of dogs. And we got to Eagle, and there was water. Water always runs down on the side of the ice, quite a substantial amount. And they came to in front of town there, and the people had built a little, you might say almost a floating bridge out to the main ice, which is maybe 100 feet from shore.
Mm-hmm.
And Biederman got impatient. Now, this is the fellow with the feet off.
Yeah.
And he jumped in and grabbed his lead dog and pulled the dog across with him. And the sled followed, and it was just that tough stuff that they did, you know, and most of us couldn't.
Not today.
No. No way.
You know, way back when you were a kid and you were growing up, were the winters real bad here?
Oh, they were really tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd go out on the trap line until maybe got 50 below, but not below there. We'd stay in. Because 50, 60, and 70 was very common up in the Eagle country, and usually there was a wind blowing, because mm-hmm. Eagle is, I don't know if you've ever been there, but Eagle is on the bend of the Yukon, and the wind rips up and whips down,
mm-hmm.
so you got it coming at you from all angles, and it usually blows.
Yeah, because the winters anymore are a joke compared to what they used to be. And I have no idea why it's warmer, but it sure is. You know, when people talk about Alaskan winters, they're for the most part, pretty much are gone, aren't they?
Oh, well, when I returned here, I'd been out for quite a few years and returned in 51.
Mm-hmm.
And my God, the winters there at 60, 70 wasn't unusual right here in Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
But up in Eagle Country, it was, I think next to Snag, it was just about as cold as any place in Alaska.
What did you guys wear to keep warm?
Well, primarily, naturally, you wore your long johns at all times. And then heavy pants and parkas and fur around the parkas and things of that nature.
We got a call coming in. Let's see what we got here. Hi, this is Michael. You're on the radio.
Yeah, Michael, I know you have some guests here. Can I make a short public announcement?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just a reminder. We the people will be having our next meeting Saturday. That's tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And we'll be hearing injustice complaints. And the location is 1 mile Old Steese off of Farmer's Loop. And for more information on this subject, they can contact the president, Elder Liebert, at 457-4625. That's 457-4625. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Greg. Okay, let's before we go back, let's talk about Oxford assaying and refining. And do you know where the miners sell their gold? Well, everyone knows they sell it to the precious metals people. That's Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. In addition, Oxford also has some fascinating precious metal gifts and investment ideas. By the way, this includes sending gifts of silver. Now listen to this, the silver Alaskan coin and the Oxford Alaskan bar. Alaska bar, these 1 ounce pure silver pieces are a unique way to share Alaska with friends and family for under $10 each. And here's a super idea, 1 ounce per silver rounds priced at 95 cents over the daily quote. The 1987 American Gold Eagles are now available with four sizes to choose from, starting from $65 for the 1/10 ounce coin, and a 14-karat gold bezel with a chain that you can have as the perfect gift for that someone special. Gold coins and ingots from around the world available in all sizes, starting at $25 a piece. And don't forget, genuine Alaskan gold nuggets are truly the Alaskan gift, so stop by and view their fine selection starting at $2.50. How about that? Gift weights of, I don't think that's right. Anyways, we'll find it. We can call them and find out. Give gifts of a lasting value that will long be remembered. Give gold and silver, and available from your precious metal people, Oxford Assaying and Refining. That's 208 Wendell Street. Now, what is a 2.50/DWT? I think we better call Oxford Assaying, and they maybe we can find out and see what we've got here, because now I can learn something. If we call 456-3967. Okay, let's find out what we're talking about. We'll find out if they're listening or not. Find out if we blew the ad or not. It's Friday. They may have gone for the day. We'll get them in it. Okay. I know what we do. Jim Madonna didn't leave me a question we could ask everybody for the day. Maybe I didn't dial that right. We'll try later on. So if anybody knows what a 250/WDT is, that's worth dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike. Wonderful place to eat. We'll find out what we're talking about. I'm learning all my gold, etc. right now. Why was it that you didn't continue and become a miner like your dad, or if you saw that sigh and said, forget it, I don't want no part of that?
You're asking a question that I was asked one time about 5 years ago in Tok. A man sidled up to me, I suppose he thought I had access to some money or something, and he wanted to know what my background was and so on, and I mentioned having been around Alaska for a while, and he looked at me and he says, you know, you're a damn fool. And I said, well, I don't doubt that. What are you referring to specifically? He says, because you're not in mining. All I can remember is the amount of hard work that went into it.
Yeah.
And the expensive equipment is today.
Yeah.
So that was the end of the conversation.
Now, you sold mining equipment for a long time, too, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. I was with Carrington Company for several years, in fact.
That's probably the easy way to do it. How has equipment changed since you've been, you were back there?
Oh, my God. Like, Dad was a foreman for the highway department out there for a while, and you know the way they made roads in those days. Now, we're taking you back 60, 70 years. Each man was issued a shovel, a mattock, pick, and there was horses there, and the old-fashioned farm plow. And I know in trying to put in on a road, they'd fell the trees, you know, and then build a corduroy over them, and it was all by hand. It took forever.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they go along with a cat and a scraper,
and
away
gone.
They go.
Yeah.
It's gone, just like that. Of course, that equipment's awful expensive.
I can imagine prices change, too.
Let's see what we've got.
Hi, this is Michael. You're on the radio.
Yeah, did you get your answer to your question?
No.
Okay, what is it? It's 2.5 slash DWT.
DWT, yeah.
Okay, the 2.5, that's 2.5, and the DWT stands for penny weight.
I knew that.
You knew that.
I'm just checking to see if you knew. Who am I speaking to?
Pardon?
Who am I speaking to?
This is Tom Van Dorp.
Okay, Tom,
V-A-N-D-O-R-P.
D-O-R-P. Okay, you get dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Restaurant, and the certificate will be here at KFAR anytime after 3 o'clock today.
Great.
But, Tom, I did know that. I was just testing.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
All righty.
Bye-bye. I wonder if you believe that or not. Now I know what a 2.5 penny weight is. Or something like that. I can imagine the equipment costs have gone just amazing today compared to what they used to be also.
Well, that's certainly true. But the amount they can get accomplished when they do use equipment, it's unbelievable.
What did it take to be a miner in those days? I mean, you know, was there kind of a stereotype of a person that was a miner?
I think anybody could walk and carry a pick and shovel in those days.
Yeah.
And since then, naturally, this charter to get title to their good ground and so on.
How'd you do that then if you found gold, you know, in the territorial days?
I think the main thing I've heard him talk about is putting a blaze on the tree and marking it somehow, and went on from there.
Yeah. Was there any recording or anything?
Oh, yes, they had to record. But I'm not familiar with all the details of that. But
yeah. Were there claim jumpers and things?
Oh, yes, there were all those things. Not necessarily in our area, but I've heard the stories, you know, so much.
Yeah.
And, a number of years ago, I was with a group of pioneers down here, the old-timers, and so many of these stories came out, and many of them happened right around here, like they had the Blue Park Abandoned and different things, stories, and some of these fellows, and I didn't know the background of these stories around this area.
These were the bandits?
No, yes, bandits they had that robbed them one way or the other.
Hmm.
It was interesting to hear these old-timers tell about them.
Sure. All the things that make motion pictures.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Well, they talk about the Wild West. It was the Wild North must have been something else. It probably would have made the West look like kid stuff.
Well, I believe that's true, and a lot of those things happen right around Fairbanks here.
Yeah. Oh, there's a virtual wealth of history that just basically right around where we sit, and it's interesting it hasn't been publicized as much. You know, they spent a lot of time with quote-unquote cowboys and Indians, and they really didn't get up to... if you really look at it, how much romance was there in mining? It was just real hard work.
That is correct. But I don't know, as you think back, people in my age bracket have lived in a very interesting time here in Alaska. After all, the radio and the aeroplane and all those things have come in our time.
Yeah.
And it's really something. I know the first airplane I went up in was over an Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And old Bennett came over, and he took Charlie Ott, the storekeeper, and me up in the airplane. You know, two open cockpits, pilot sitting behind you.
Oh, yeah.
But the interesting thing was, he gave us a little tipping and so on, and
sure.
something. And when we came down, we got out, and Charlie had been chewing tobacco all this time, and of course his whole length of the plane was covered, and
with
old
tobacco.
Bennett was plenty mad.
Boy, I bet those old planes, you know, that's guts. The old-time pilots, they must have been gutsy, because those things, you know, you could spit at them and knock them down. Let me go to the phone. I think we're getting an Olympic update just about now. Hi, this is Michael. You're on the radio.
Hi, Mike. This is Debbie Benson calling from Arctic Winter Games.
Well, hi, Debbie. How are you?
Just fine today.
Great. What's new and exciting in the winter game business?
Well, I wanted to talk today about speed skating.
Okay.
I think most of us who are familiar at all with speed skating are kind of used to seeing them skating on outdoor ovals outside. Mm-hmm. This year, there'll be a new event in Arctic Winter Games, and it's called Speed Skating Short Track, and it's done inside an ice arena. And... more like roller derby style, except without the fouling and the pushing. And there will be competitors in the junior men and the junior women division. 19 years of age and under. This weekend, there will be speed skating tryouts, 1 p.m. Sunday at Big Dipper. And those of young people who are interested in trying out need to come with their skates, and they'll be doing a 1,500-meter and an 800-meter race for the tryouts.
Well, dynamite. And where's it at once more?
At the Big Dipper Ice Arena.
And what time once more?
1 p.m. this Sunday.
Hot stuff. Thanks a lot for calling.
You bet.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There's going to be a lot of fun with those winter games. Let me talk about B&L Pawn Shop right now. That's at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman, and that's the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. Now, there's that's an understatement. It's more like going to a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping, and you get everything. Just give them an idea, and let me list a couple of things that they've got there. Jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, wenches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer that you heard it on KFAR, she'll sweeten the deal. And if you tell her that you heard it from Jim Madonna's show on Alaska Gold Trails, she'll even sweeten it just a bit more. And if your money's a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L Pawn will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you to do that too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn, that 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never, never says no. And they'll sell anything but the chandelier. It's attached. So ask Killer. You never know. At B&L Pawn, corner of Gaffney and Cushman. 452-6491. That's the number, 452-6491. Open from 9 to 7 Monday through Friday and 9 to 5 on Saturday. And how about 12 to 5? They're even open Sundays. And remember, tell Killer you heard it right here at Alaska Gold Trails, and she will sweeten the deal. Cy Randall, when you sold mining and mining equipment, what did you do after that?
Well, I was listening to you talk there, and I was thinking when they got through at the places you've told them about, why they could come over to the reindeer shop in the Regency Mall.
Let's give it a plug. What do you got over there, Cy?
Oh, we got the finest. Anyhow, we have all kinds of furs, and our price is right. We have all Indian Valley meats, gift packs, and all those things.
I sent one of the gift packs to my brother this Christmas.
Well, that's very good.
Yeah.
And then we have Swiss Whey milk, Swiss Whey products, which take the place of milk and is much cheaper than milk.
Now, by the way, that's great stuff because we use that at home.
And yes, and it keeps so long.
Yeah.
And they always have it on hand. You never run out and have to go to the store or go without.
I like the chocolate.
Yeah, both of it. Chocolate and the vanilla. It's plain. It's really excellent. We've used it continuously now for the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going over, getting more and more. And right now they're producing it in Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sent a couple of cases the other day to Barter Island, if you please. And
really?
I would think it'd really go in the bush.
Yeah.
Because I never had milk until I was about 15 years old, other than the old can, you know.
Yeah.
Went to Dawson, and then we sold me several bottles of it. And bottles were in those long-necked.
Oh, sure, I remember
long-necked,
those.
And that's the way they sold the milk in Dawson in those days. But I thought it was wonderful,
never
knowing any better.
Real milk.
And we couldn't get our kids, when they were coming along, to drink the powdered milk. They just wouldn't do it. They could tell it was powdered. But anyhow, apparently we didn't bring them along. But getting back to the products, we have all kinds of furs, as I said, and we have these various Alaska wildflower buttons and emblems and so on. And there are just so many things, and until you come in, it's hard to believe. Come in, folks, see where we are. We're in the Bentley Mall.
Yeah, I remember. I guess it was over a year ago I came in, and I got a sample of just about everything there was there, and man, was that good stuff.
And I better correct that, though, in the Regency Mall.
Regency Court Mall, that's right.
That's right.
That's on the first floor.
Yeah, on the first floor.
The upper floor.
That's
if I came over, now I'm going to nail you. Here we go. If I came over, do I get to taste more samples?
Oh, sure.
Oh,
not
good.
Furs, though, understand.
No, I can't take the furs, but I'll taste more samples.
Oh, yes, you can taste all you want.
Yeah, and by the way, we want to thank the folks at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe for providing the weekly prizes of Dinner for Two on Alaska Gold Trails. And you all know where Laura's is. It's right across from the Daily News Miner, across the street from the church, right by Samson's Hardware. That's, I guess we kind of zeroed that one in. Where the new freeway is going to be? Maybe.
Maybe.
If they do that one way or the other. Anyways, I imagine if you sat down, you could probably create a lot of stories and a lot of things that have occurred, you know, in the interior. And you, well, you've been around now for how long, except for the time you were gone? The interior.
Oh.
Or Alaska.
Well, certainly it became a, how would you say it, longevity back there several years ago.
Yeah.
And, you had to be here quite a few years to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So I've been here a long time.
Yeah. I imagine that you've seen some drastic changes. What? Now, how long have you been in the Fairbanks area?
In the Fairbanks, I came back in 51. And an interesting article there, I came back as controller for the Northern Commercial. In fact, I took Doug Preston's place down here.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, in those days, so many people had large deposits on the books of the Northern Commercial, getting no interest on it whatsoever, but they felt that they'd been doing business with the NC for so many years, and they just felt that they could trust them, and that was it. And I just couldn't believe seeing that money all sit there, and we not paying any interest on it, and people happy at having them do that.
You know, I've been up here for a while now, and I remember stories about the old days that if you could leave, you know, your wallet full of money at one of the stores, they'd pick up a phone and call you, and when you got there, it would be all there.
Yes.
What happened to those days? Let me do a real quick one and talk about Larson's Jewelers for a moment, and I'm going to do it just so I don't blow this one big time. Maybe I better call over there and find out if I'm going to do this right. We'll find out if Nelda is a true radio listener or not. Yes. One ring and two rings. They've been in business for a long time now. Full-service jewelry and goldsmithing, and that means they can take rock.
Good afternoon, Larson. This is Nelda.
Hi, Nelda. How are you? It's Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Guess who's on the air?
I know.
You were listening.
I was. Sure, I wanted to listen to Cy.
Oh, okay. You see? We have a loyal.
Good.
Well, Cy, that's...
We'll have to get her to come over to the store so she can have a sample then.
Oh, you have to get over there, Nelda, and sample. I want to make sure I got this right, okay? You guys have been around since 1946?
Mm-hmm.
And you could take raw gold and create rings and bracelets and necklaces and earrings right on the spot in a design of your choice?
Absolutely.
And you can also add diamonds and rubies and sapphires and other gems from your large inventory to new or existing jewelry pieces?
You got it. You betcha.
And you can repair and rebuild jewelry?
Yes.
Including shanks, loops, and chains?
Right.
Hey, I have a question. Is my chain fixed yet?
I don't know.
I sent one over there.
Oh, did you?
Okay. I don't know. It's not a good answer. Okay.
I didn't know it was here, Michael.
Yeah. Oh, we put it in my little bracelet chain broke, and I would take it only to one place in the city to get it fixed.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you got over there special today? Let's go away from the generic stuff and talk jewelry here.
Okay. Well, we have some heart-shaped garnets that would make wonderful Valentine's gifts.
Yeah.
In earrings or pendants or however, or put them in a ring.
Yeah.
And they're really pretty. They're red, of course, because some garnets are red. And so they have the heart shape.
Yeah.
And we have our special markdown case that has a lot of red stickers in it. And we have a lot of other heart-shaped items that would be really great for Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
As well as...
Oh, that's right. Valentine's Day is coming up,
yes. February 14th.
I'll
not
be
too far away.
Yeah. Hey, did you give Bill Wally a thought for the day today?
No, I didn't.
Well, you can give it to us.
Oh,
yeah.
That means I got to look quick, huh?
Whip out the book.
Whip out the book.
Yeah.
Peace begins when expectation ends.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neat. So the little white house in the corner of 4th and Noble?
Mm-hmm.
I know that place.
Right. Phone number? Yeah,
456-4141.
You got it.
And I did that without even looking. Hey, just go in and ask for Nelda.
Right.
Yes.
Notorious Nelda.
Notorious Nelda.
Right.
What I heard about you. Thank you, darling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Nice place. They've been around forever and a day, too.
Oh, yeah. Roy used to come down to fix our vault all the time.
Did he really?
When we changed people in there, they had to have it done. Roy had to come down and fix it because we couldn't do it.
Yeah. I think he was the guest on Alaskan Gold Trails either the last week or the week before.
Is that right?
Interesting man.
He told a funny story at the Pioneers a while back.
Yeah.
And that was he was having his hair cut this many years ago and they had so much trouble with the power around here.
Mm-hmm.
And so Rod Wolf had apparently been cutting on his hair,
mm-hmm.
just half done, and the lights went out. So Roy went out. He had a big truck parked out there and mm-hmm. put the lights right in through the window of the barber shop.
Yeah.
And Rod finished the haircut with that lights from the truck. I thought that was interesting.
I wonder what the haircut looked like afterwards.
I don't know, but he got it done anyhow.
Well, I guess there's a lot of old-timers that are still around. When I say old-timers, that people have been around and have seen the place grow. If you could have one thing out of the past stay the same, if it didn't change today, what would that be? If you could go back into the past and have one thing move forward, maybe a way of being or a particular store that was here or just something, what would you bring forward to keep?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Definitely not the shovel.
That's really something that's a hard question to answer, what you'd like brought forward from the old time.
Yeah.
I guess the personal touch you had in so many of the stores, which the clerks seem to be missing nowadays, it seems to me, like most of them. That personal touch, one little thing that happened a number of years ago, I was happened to be standing up by the cashier. We worked three cashiers in the NC then, and Roy, Noel Ween came in. He had a big poke of gold, and he brought it up to one of the windows, and he saw me in there, so he hollered to me, and I went over. He says, credit this to so-and-so's account up at Wiseman. And he turned around and walked away, and I said, wait a minute, don't you want a receipt? And he says, no, I didn't give him any. I don't need any, and away he went.
I can imagine what would happen today if you did that. Let me talk about Arctic Springs for a minute. Robert, Charlene, and James Johnson own and operate a family business right here in Fairbanks called Arctic Spring, and that's at 285 Alta Way. They started manufacturing leaf springs and U-bolts for all sizes and types of vehicles and heavy equipment several years ago. And because of their interest in developing a leaf spring manufacturing plant in Fairbanks, they became one of the first businesses to be awarded the use of the Made in Alaska logo for businesses using Alaskan product and labor. So to give you an example of what they can do over there at Alta Way and their 6,000 square foot manufacturing plant, just listen to this. They manufacture and recondition springs for snow machines, cars, trucks, heavy equipment, and get this, even aircraft. Springs can be rearched and U-bolts cold bent to your specifications, and they can raise and lower your vehicle. Arctic Spring handles both standard and custom-made oil coil springs, and they look at what they stock: a complete line of steel, brass, rubber, and Teflon bushings, torsion bar axle for auto trailers and snow machine trailers and weasels. Finally, they build trailers to your specifications, so bring in your blueprints or your sketch. And in addition, they have two huge 30-inch by 8-foot heat treatment ovens, which can accommodate just about any material that needs heat treating. So that's Bob, Charlene, and James Johnson at Arctic Springs. That's 285 Alta Way. Give them a call today at 451-8612. I like that. They can build trailers to your specifications. I wonder if they can build horse trailers. I should call them and ask them that. One of these fine, wonderful days. I forgot to do a feature, and let's do this, and we'll be right back. It's something like Today's People, and we'll be back with Cy Randall and Alaskan Gold Trails right after this.
Sybil Shepherd did a little moonlighting on Hollywood Boulevard yesterday. She got a star on the Walk of Fame.
This is great. This is a great honor. If there ever was fantasy fulfillment, this is it. I remember walking around here and seeing these stars. Anyways, it's a dream come true. This is a really special day for me.
Co-star Bruce Willis sent Sybil a congratulatory telegram. More than 500 fans turned out for the ceremony. Academy Award-winning actor George C. Scott reported resting comfortably at a Los Angeles hospital where he was undergoing tests for chest pains. He has a history of heart problems. Andrew Lloyd Webber, who created such hit musicals as Cats and Jesus Christ Superstar, opened his production of Phantom of the Opera last night on Broadway with a benefit preview performance. Tickets are already sold out well into 1999. And 16-year-old singing sensation Tiffany has the number one record in the Billboard magazine album chart for the second week in a row, youngest singer to do it since Little Stevie Wonder 15 years ago. I'm Dave Alpert.
Hey, like, where's the party, man?
What?
Some Earlson dude said I'd find a party here.
Whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or big rig, for the best service.